something.
All right, so apparently the new YouTube rule is if you don't curse within the first 5 minutes of a YouTube video and you start cursing after that, we don't have to edit. We don't have to hit any beeps. So right now we had a clock running for how long we can time Mr. Osprey before he can start letting it fly. So he said he's going to be a good boy after that.
I'm going to do my best.
He's doing his best.
5 minutes on the clock.
5 minutes on the clock is rolling.
I'm going to do 10. I'm sure I can, man.
Ooh, 10 is asking for a lot. I'm going to keep it on then.
Ooh,
I might time the whole thing.
Try your best, man.
So 5 minutes, can he not let off a C word, a F word, a S word, an A word, a B word, a P word?
The C might be hard. I let that fly sometimes, man. I'll do my best.
X, you got some work coming out for you, bro. This is going to be a fun one.
Sorry, G. My apologies.
So, here we are, episode 75 of the Swerve City Podcast here in Daly's place. We've been moving around. We haven't done an episode in the freaking studio at the house in a while because we stand on the road trying to get these, you know, knocked out one after another, one after another. Last episode was Adam Copeland. That's already up. And real quick, I just want to say thank y'all because – TZ, I'll let you announce the news about the stats. Could we stat people? I'm doing all the work for you.
I'm preferencing this because I can't cuss now. So I'm going to say this in a very nice and unique way. Right now, when you look at the charts, we are number 18 in the United States for music interviews on Apple. Oh. Above some of your favorite people. And I don't want to ruin relationships, so I'm not going to name drop. But a lot of y'all that's been out here 37 years doing this, we are an independent podcast that's been out for 5 years. We're number 18 in the world right now, above some of the greatest in the world, and we're independent. We don't have no budget deal. We are shopping, guys.
So make hit us with the right. My money goes into this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
me, bro.
Well,
what even mean?
How long did that last? How long did it last?
Mate, under 2 minutes, 15 seconds, bro. No,
how? We tried. A lot of his money,
bro.
A lot of his money went to this. The equipment, the sponsors, the time, the road, the gas. Everything's all coming to this. We started this. We are now 18th in the United States. We actually 50 in Great Britain.
We went up.
We are all over
in a
the
week.
World.
In a week, we went up 200 slots in a week.
Yep.
From 280 all the way to 18.
Yep.
Yeah. Over 200 slots jumped in a week.
How do you like us now? How?
We competing with Rosenberg.
Yes.
And Adam 22.
Yes. And all Ryan Seacrest and all of them. Yes. Nora Jones. We up there.
I'm going to stop this clock. You know, the challenge is over. I'm done.
You failed. You let the side down.
But anyway, that's 3 minutes into the podcast. Let's get to my guest right here. This is a brother of mine. I've been wrestling this man since he was 19 years old on my first tour of the UK in 2013, I believe. Mm-hmm. Went over there. I heard a little bit of things about him, seen some YouTube clips. But then, right when I met him, we got in the ring, and I just, this man is special. This man is special, and I knew it was coming. I came back to the States, and I warned the rest of you Americans. I said, y'all don't know what the hell is about to come over here. Y'all have no idea. Y'all have no idea the type of specimen that's going to come over here in the United States and take over this wrestling world. And sure enough, it happened in less than 5 years. Because I think 2 years, 3 years later, you did the PWG, and it was over from there. And then he wasn't just a YouTube sensation anymore. He became a tidal wave in the wrestling community, wrestling world. I couldn't be more proud of him. This is my brother from another continent, from across the pond. This is the best wrestler of this generation. I'm a world champion, and I'm still saying he's the best wrestler in this generation, man.
That's what he always tells me.
I've been saying it for years and years and years. This man is sensational. There's nothing this man can't do. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Billy Goat himself, Mr. Will Ospreay. What up, my brother?
That was the kindest thing that you ever said to me, sir. Thank you so much.
Don't get used to it. Don't get used to it.
Thank you so much for being part of this.
Man, look here, man.
Because we're going to have to fight at one point.
I have to say this, man.
Might be in a matter of months. Who knows?
Ooh. Look, man, coming off of Dynasty, I'm sitting there, I'm watching front row, and I'm watching you and Brian Danielson put on this clinic. And that is one of the best matches I've ever seen live. I've seen a lot, and I'm kind of old. But I will say, that is one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life.
Honestly, Matt, I appreciate you so much.
You guys are killing it. Talk a little bit of please about us going in that match. Everything that was on your mind, how you feeling, you and Brian. Yeah. How's everything, man, with that?
Man, so I've been trying to tell people this for a while, right? I've been feeling sick, and I don't know whether it's like anxiety or maybe it's just the exhaustion from traveling back and forth so much, man. Mm. But that's a real thing. Every single week, I get on a flight from London Heathrow, and I go to whatever state that I'm required to go to America. Sometimes they're nice flights, like 6 hours. Sometimes they're like 8, 9, 10 hour ones. But like,
wait till we hit that West Coast.
Hey man, I'm looking forward to it. Trust me on that. But like, I've been feeling sick, man. Like in all of my matches, like even one against Cesaro, at one point I generally thought I was going to throw up in the ring. So I don't know if it's exhaustion, if it's my body just telling me to slow down and whatnot, right? But then I got in there with Brian, and I was so worried. I kept saying to myself, man, like, don't be sick. Like, don't, like, got to be in control of all of this. You got to be, and I'm not even joking. The moment the bell rung, even just beforehand, when I was looking at him, I just mouthed to him and went, this is going to be a pleasure. And then I stepped back, and the moment that bell rung, it was just that there was nothing, man. There was nothing, like, blocking me. There was nothing making me feel like I don't belong here. Like, even when I done the Kenny match and the Jericho match, I still feel like I was punching up. For the first time, like, I generally felt like I was meant to be a part of this. I was like, I felt going in there against somebody that I consider the best wrestler in the world. I consider him the greatest to ever do it. No, at no point did I ever think that I was ever going to be opposite this man at all. And now here it is standing there, and I just felt like I was on your level. It just felt amazing. Do you know what I mean?
So is it settling in now? Like, he's like a week, like not less than a week from when we're shooting this, that this happened. You're like, man, does this really happen? Like, do you feel happy with it? Do you feel like you could improve? Or?
No, man. Like, obviously, like, I'll go backstage and I'll ask people, like, is there anything I could have done better? Or, of course, like, because that's what you're just brought up to do, where you go back to your peers and you go back to the men that you respect and you go, is there anything that I could have done better?
At that point, it's like, what do we criticize on that?
Like, I don't know. Hey, like, there could have been something that I'm missing, but like,
right.
But like, I got to go with how I feel. Hey, and like by the end of it, and you're watching everybody like stand there and just have arms over their head. They can't believe what they've just seen.
Yeah,
and
me one of
like I don't want to gas myself up at all. Like, I'm not that guy, but just being like, I felt so proud of myself because like, getting here, man, I never compromised on anything. I never sold out to anybody. I did everything the right way. I done it my way. And then to come here and to get that match and be in there with literally the greatest person that you associate with professional wrestling, in one of the greatest professional wrestling companies going, it's truly is a blessing to be a part of this place, man.
I literally was like watching you right beforehand. I'm like getting ready. I'm looking right across for you. We like locked eyes. And I'm saying, oh, I know what's about to happen. I already knew. I just knew. I went over there, gave you the hug. It's like, go do it. Just go make history.
I was in game mode. Like at that point, I was just like, yeah, man, like I feel it. Especially, you see that hype package afterwards? You're like, I'm ready to run for a fucking wall, bro. Like, here we go. Like,
yeah, dude, I was just like, he's ready to just go.
It just feels like there's a new wave coming in, man. Like, I feel it.
It's
I
here.
I feel it.
I think,
man,
it's here.
Nah, like, especially after Dynasty. Like,
yeah,
you look up and down the card, you look at all the champions, you look at all the guys. Like, I was even saying this, man. Like, out of all of that, right, look at that card top to bottom. Every single match had a champion in there. There was one match that didn't have a championship on the line, which is my one, right? Mm. But I felt coming out of there just being like, there's no direction that I can't take
at
this point. Like, do you know what I mean? So I felt like everyone here has got like a meaning. Everyone's got a purpose. We've all got like little avenues and little routes that can connect us all in weird ways.
Yeah.
So now I feel good. I feel like the earthquake is done. The aftershock was there. It's fine to go out there and to take back what's ours.
Man, so I feel like that's the trickiest part about the generation before is like seeing something that hasn't really been pushed to this level. So it's like hard for me. I would say it's like it has to be difficult for that generation to look at someone like yourself, someone like a Brian Danielson, even a Phoenix, someone like a Dante Martin, some of these guys that are just like, even Kyle Fletcher, they're like pushing the boundaries to the next level. It's like, it's hard to critique that because it's like, we haven't seen that yet. They're right. So far ahead.
Right. The high, such a good, that's,
you know,
a good point.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. It's like, imagine a sport three generations before LeBron. How can you really, or Steph Curry, or like these big name athletes, three generations beforehand, it's like, how do you critique that? It's like, we haven't seen these kind of things. So like, what are the things that you are looking for like criticisms, or like even just being like somebody just giving you pointers, these legends? You know, we have Dean Malenko back here. We have like Mark Henry. We have Dustin Rose. We have like this, like,
mate, even Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn's got so much wealth and knowledge that people just don't like pick on his brain.
Yeah.
Like every now and again, I go there. I go to Jericho quite a lot as well. Yeah, Jericho. Jericho's like, he's done everything. ECW, WCW, WWE, Japan. Like, he's literally done everything. So, like, not picking his brain, I think you're a fool for not doing
it. It's asinine.
Like, I do enjoy picking his brain. But, like, more or less because I spent 8 years of my life in Japan.
Yeah.
And it's different environment altogether, right? That is such a sports-centric world where, like, the other channel is very much of an entertainment sphere, right? Mm-hmm. So then I felt like in Japan, all I was doing is learning the trade of what professional wrestling is. I was a bricklayer, man. Like, and I'm learning, like, you can't just build a house, man. Like, you can do your best right now, but you can't build a house without a foundation, right? So, like, absolutely. And for me, man, going to Japan was, like, learning about how you build yourself as a professional wrestler. And, like, learning the techniques, the trades, the enthusiasm, the energy, the fire, the emotion, the connection with the crowd. Not a single one of them can speak my language, man. But yet we connect. That's the one thing that I needed. But like coming over here, it's a different ball game, right? Now everyone can speak my language. Granted, I talk like a fucking cunt. Right? There you go, right? I talk. My English in comparison to what the Yanks talk like, it is like we are so different. But like, you could still somewhat understand me, yeah. I guess. So
Danny, like, Danny Burch was like, "Hey, we created it. You guys bastardized it. Yeah. The language." You know, so
I love me some Burch, man. He's a good boy. Martin Stone, brother. How you doing?
Yes.
But like, coming over here now, it is of course playing to the cameras. But like,
yeah.
I don't know how, man. But like, I almost like. I am out of my depth for this. Like I've told this to
could have fooled me,
man. But like when I was with Ring of Honor and I had the dual contract with New Japan, right. And Ring of Honor, I opted out of that because I just didn't like personally. I just wanted to stay, just do Japan and England, just because it was a bit too much travel for me.
For sure.
But like I did just feel like out of my depth there. I felt like, oh, this is nice. Like, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like. Because at that time it was centered around the Young Bucks, the Bullet Club, and all those guys, and rightfully so, it should have been. But I just felt like another guy, and it was almost like I felt like I wasn't being like not utilized properly, not at all. But like I felt like I was wasting their time. Like it was just a case of like
okay.
I didn't really like take to it. I just kind of was a little bit drained, so I wanted to just commit myself to. New Japan,
like mentally, emotionally, yeah, or just like the work itself. Yeah,
it was too much. It was right, the overloading of it, and it was just like they're not going to miss me. Do you know what I mean? It was just like no, but like at the time you had like so many guys there, yeah. So like it was just like yeah, let me keep learning. Mm. I'm still trying to figure this shit out. Like,
that's a lot. It takes a lot of humility to even do that. To think you know what you need, and you know where you need to be. You know where you don't need to be at a certain time.
And sometimes, dude, I just like every now and again when I've got my time off, I just want to go to Australia and go wrestle there. Yeah. And I want to go like I just want to wrestle everywhere. And like at this point, I was like, I don't need to be here. So in that case, like, let me learn this. Let me go help out the Australians. Let me keep coming back to England and helping out.
Mm.
So like when I come here now, it's just a different ball game. It's all about timing. It's all about personality, and that's the bit that I've always struggled with. But like I will give Japan credit with this. After every single match, I went talk. Like, do you know what I mean? You have to talk. And sometimes I would hit out the park. Sometimes I wouldn't. But like it would get you out of your comfort zone and it would get you talking.
Yeah, I love that. And like I think. Japan doesn't actually get enough credit for that, the talking part, the promoing part, because it's like a lot of people's like Jay White just a lot of things just blew up because of that, his fire on his promos after his matches and like feeling the emotion and just sweating, like, you know what I mean, like that. So like I think the fact of just understanding and knowing this is not where I need to be, especially at the young age that you were.
24, I think 20, I was.
Very 20, young.
23, 24.
Very young. And you are, at that point, you were already having like American like buzz because you were going back and forth to the States too. You were doing your WrestleMania weekends.
Yeah.
You were doing a lot of those things too.
I'd love a WrestleMania weekend. That was always fun. Just to see fans all collab around. Just because like, once again, as a fan of wrestling, I love seeing like other wrestling companies succeed and thrive and
absolutely
and like and to see all of us nerds gather around. I was like, "What's up, my nerds?" Like,
we took
I mean?
Over cities.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? We've like, actually like took
New Orleans was like literally we took over Bourbon Street. Like, but, like wrestling that's such a everywhere. Sick
thing. Like, do you it not was. Understand how like crazy that is? Like the thing that we would all be in school for when the teacher would look around and go, "Hey, what do you want to be?" And you go, "I want to be a wrestler," and all the kids,
I got that. Yep.
And it's just like, mate, once a year, like, and now even more because of All In, we just take over cities.
We take over. Like, literally banners everywhere. Cities are shut down. Restaurants closed because there's no room for other actual real humans and civilized people because we're wrestlers. And we, like, it's awesome. Yeah, I never forget. They were like, "Who's someone that inspires you?" I'm like, "Oh, pro wrestler Rey Mysterio. He's my inspiration." And I say it in a class. I'm like, "Oh, you like half naked guys?" I'm like, "No, that's not.
You know what I mean?
That's not what I'm. That's not what I'm saying."
that you know what's funny too. Like, so you go through that, and then you become an adult. Now you're making your trails, and you're going from overseas to here. Now that you're here with AEW, a new set of goals come in. A new set of things you want to trailblaze. And like you said, the way that the future is going and you being the future of pro wrestling. Now that you're here, what goals do you have here? How are you challenging yourself here? And what do you set to accomplish now you're here in AEW? What's next for you?
I mean, for me, man, like once again, this will obviously come out a bit weird, but like I'm a guy that enjoys to see the world. I love doing that. And like coming over here, obviously I bring a little bit of flavor in from around the world, but I don't want to forget about what made me. My main goal is, honestly, I want to take AEW everywhere, man. Like, I want to do shows in Tokyo. I want to do shows in Osaka. I want to do shows in Sydney. I want to go to Melbourne again. I want to do shows in Dublin. Mate, after seeing the Ugandan things as well, like, I want to do shows
over there.
Oh, we got to
do that.
Like, mate.
Don't bring the ring either. I want that mud.
Someone's called me out. The Ball has called me out to come to SGW. And, you know, I've got to answer that call,
shout
man.
Out SGW.
Like, I'm gonna come, man. You honestly have no idea what's coming, lads. listen. Without any formal trainer, without a professional wrestling ring, you guys are without a doubt the best in the world. But now the best is coming to you.
Oh
guys.
God, so, damn! Like, it. Don't promote.
I will come there. I will come. Don't you worry. But,
shout out to Mansoor and Brennan.
Oh, for going out there.
Oh my God, I was jealous. I'm like,
Shima went out there as well, bro. Nah, it's my turn. I've seen those guys.
That's all I need to see.
Seen those guys go out. I'm just like, nah, it's my turn now. Like, I've got to go out. But that's my main thing with AEW. It's like, I do want to take it around the world because I do believe that travel broadens us so much.
Yeah.
Like, for me, what made me a man, like, I mean, once again, you knew me when I was a kid.
Yes, sir.
I was annoying. I was a bit
as hell.
I was a bit full on. But like, I didn't know shit about myself. Sorry again. But I didn't know stuff about myself. I was learning about everything like at such a young age and like almost using social media more as a diary rather than like a platform to promote.
Everybody got into that lane a little bit. Though.
Yeah. And
it happens.
Like, and it happens. But like I got to learn and I got to every single time that I let anybody down, I came back on my knees and was ready to go to work to prove myself.
Yep.
Every single time I've grown up, I've matured. I'm in a position now where I'm a parent. I know who I am as a human being, but I still believe that is because of everything that I've done. Every single person that I've met, every fan that I've ever shaked hands with, every wrestler that I've ever gone and wrestled, I believe the best way that AEW can grow is by traveling and wanting to do more pay-per-views out in like Japan, in Mexico, Canada, England, Europe, everywhere. That's my goal with AEW. Of course, I want to be champ.
But you know what? People are already putting an expiration date on my title reign. Yep. And like, you know what? Here.
Don't do it. Don't do it. No, because...
No,
I can't. I can't. I'll do it. I'll touch you when I beat you, bro.
So, actually, this brings up to my next point that
go,
I was
man.
Thinking
go,
about.
Go, go, go.
So, him, right? This is my brother, and he always talks about you, right? He always bigs you up. He's like, yo, you need to watch Will Ospreay shit. You need to watch his shit. You need to watch it. You need to watch it.
I say him and Darby.
Him and so are my two favorites. I became like, when I went and traveled around with him in the Independence, I became a huge fan of Darby because I started watching what he was doing, like MLW, those like back years ago. So talk a little bit about your guys' relationship because, you know, you mentored him in some way. So talk about your guys' dynamic and how did you guys meet and things like that? Because a lot of people,
man,
favor you two together. Either it could be a rivalry, something they want to see in the future. Let's talk about you a little bit, y'all two's dynamic.
Man, I don't even know what kind of influence I could have had. Like, I just know, like, we took to each other instantly. Like, I remember the first time we had that it was like Southside Wrestling, and we like the four way.
Ben old man, like when we was in that Leisure Centre up in Nottingham.
Nottingham, yeah. Yep.
And I'd done the CCW crossover show, right?
Yes.
And he was the wide champ at the time, and I thought, yep, oh, that's a nice looking belt.
That's a nice little belt.
And I'm still saying it now. That is a nice looking belt.
Be ashamed if I took it.
He's always tried to take my belt. Stop it. You know,
but I felt like we had a genuine connection when it comes to how we view wrestling as well. Like, it should be, like, dynamic, and it should be explosive, and it should be...
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't even know, like, as like what I could have, like, been, like, passed over to him because we were just, like, bonding. We were just doing our thing. So if there was something he took from me, I'm like, I'm so happy and I'm so proud. I'm like, I feel pride from that.
Do you want honesty?
I don't remember. Honest. I know what you're talking about.
Here's an honest thing, right? Do you want to know what I took from him? The standing Spanish fly. That's generally who I got it from. Like,
because I did it to him.
Yeah, he done it to me. I generally went, I'll have that.
Literally, I was like, but then like I started like getting out of the athletic realm of things. I got more in my technician side of things.
And the aura as well. You can't. I tell this, I was on a podcast a little while ago and I tell everyone, no, it was a podcast, it was a post-scrum, about when you used to come out in Ireland with the, ain't nobody, honestly, like watching people vibe with you and connect with you. And I was just like, no, you're different. You're completely different to every other lad. You've got like this style presence about you and you bring
Thank you, man.
It was all, like sometimes watching you, it was like watching like a pop star come out, man. Like a genuine superstar come out. It was like, even though you know that song was trademarked, of course it was, but it felt like your song. And to like a community of people, it was your performance. And I just sat there, man. I was just like, yeah, you're different. And like when obviously you signed, of course I was just like, yeah, like he's going to be a world champ one day. I took a few back roads to get there, but like, my God, what a journey, dude.
What a journey. But like, I remember like we were in the back and we were just like talking and he's like, mate, like comes up, hey mate, like anything you need me to do in a match, tell me, I can do it. I was like, you arrogant little shit.
Nah, but like whatever you need, but I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah, I was like, you arrogant little shit. I love him. I absolutely love him.
I like this.
And I was like, that's what I was like. I like this. I like it. But I like that. For me, it was just like, I love a confident kid that knows he can pull things off. I know he can achieve these things. Like, you want that in your locker room. And that's what, like, that's why I think, like, AEW is like that. Like, we all kind of grew up together, like, in Japan, UK, America, TV company, whatever.
But with the same philosophy of all had the same thing. The same philosophy of wrestling could be.
Yes.
Like, rather than what it should look like, what could it look like? And I think that's why AEW is special, is because it doesn't have one common interest except for professional wrestling. Wrestling, where the best wrestle. That's the whole signal right now, right?
And live like, by it. I love it.
And that's the whole thing with wrestling. There's no one way of doing it. There's so many different ways.
Question, though. I will say this.
Go on.
I said it on a podcast like maybe a couple episodes beforehand. We were with the Grizzly Young Vets.
Yes.
And I said,
oh, lovely guys.
Lovely guys. Love them guys. I literally was like, guys who are watching wrestling, fans or other wrestlers aspiring to be wrestlers, like Will is killing it, crushing it. Literally every pay-per-view singles match, it's going to be a classic. Don't let that feel like that's the standard for being a great match. You can find ways to be a great match, but on your own unique way. And don't, like, I'm not saying, don't aspire, don't study him, don't do this, but like, just understand, like, I have to be him to be this. I'm like, no, you don't. That is just a that is a tool, a good archetype. But don't like
prime example.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. was a complete different match to Bryan.
Completely different match.
Right. But that was still phenomenal.
Incredible.
That was still incredible.
Incredible.
Like Okada and Pac, like set the bar. Like God, yep. Like that was a hard thing to knock off. Like, do you know what I mean?
Was like,
they
set God.
The bar. They set the bar for the entire pay per view. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Lucha and Bros like, and the Bucks.
Yeah, like even the steel cage match that they done. Is that the one you're on about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, dude, incredible.
Like, there's so many different ways that we can tell these stories. Like, it's not just one way of doing things.
No,
it doesn't need a gajillion run-ins. It doesn't need all of that. It can just sometimes be. There's two people or four guys just putting in the best professional wrestling shows and telling the story within the ring. Doesn't mean that like the run-ins aren't wrong. Like, I mean, that was like...
That's a spectacle. That's spectacle. And I want to see a spectacle.
Yeah, of course. Like,
yeah.
That, but that's why there are so many flavors of ice cream.
That's it nowadays for sure.
And they can all work. They all have proven to work.
Except for the wasabi ice cream. You should not go with that wasabi ice cream. It's out in Japan. Don't try it. Don't do it. If you ever go, don't try wasabi ice cream.
I'm still trying to get to Japan, man. Huh? Still never done it.
We'll get there. I'm telling you, mate. Like
Now that you said that, honestly, put that out there, I'm like, you know what? We have a new goal.
Listen, like I've got my debut for New Japan was in this building called Ryogoku Sumo Arena. It's 10,000 people in there, mate. It's one of the most beautiful venues I've ever been a part of. It's been a part of my career when it was my debut. I won the junior title in there. I won the super juniors in there when I announced I was going to live in Japan in there. I won the world title in there. Mm. There's one more spot on there for dates. I really want AEW to run that building. That's honestly, it's my dream, man. I want to bring AEW to Japan.
Well, we got Rocky Romero in the office.
Yeah, now
so
we
there's
do.
A way we can pull
there's
something.
A there,
there's a way,
will,
man.
There's a will, there's a way. All right, we got it.
Please do not put that on your tights.
My mom would love that.
Oh, God.
Up, mom?
You got anything for him?
Yes. So, got to give a shout out to our music producer and team member, Rich Latta. Huge fan of yours.
Oh, bless.
And I wanted to give him a shout out, and I'm reading this from the phone. I want to read it verbatim and not butcher.
Shout out One Nation Radio.
He wanted to ask you this. Shout out to Rich. He said, you being arguably the most critically acclaimed wrestler in the world for the past 5 years, how have you managed to push the limits of physical performance in the ring while being conscious of not going too far?
Oh, that's a good question. Sometimes it's just about reading the room. And like not all the time can I do that Bryan Danielson match. I can't do it. Can't do that every single pay-per-view, right? It has to be special, right? Walking into Revolution against Takeshita, like that was a good way to introduce myself.
Yep.
The Danielson match was a good way to reaffirm that I am one of the best wrestlers here. But
do you think like you had to reintroduce yourself even though you already had Forbidden Door with Kenny already under your belt? You already had All In under your belt?
I feel like I had to just like, no, it's hard to say, right? But I feel like once I came here officially and I signed my name on the dotted line, it was almost just like, okay, although you know what I could do, you have no idea what I can do. Like, that's a dangerous man saying that. Do you know what I mean? So like at that point I was like, I'm ready for this next jump. I'm ready for this next step. But like to know how to not go over it. I feel like sometimes, it's hard to say because like a lot of people will obviously say the saying of less is more. Right, and I've stripped back so much of my offense. I'll be honest.
This is true.
I'll be honest with you. A lot of it I can't do anymore. Like my hips are mangled, and I'm still like trying to. Like I'm getting back into it. I'm stretching as much as I can, but like I don't think I'll ever be able to do like the imploding 450 ever again.
Mm-hmm.
The double spin kick that I used to call the Robertson special. Right, I believe I can still do it.
That thing used to blast my back.
But like I believe I can still do it. But like it mangles
it hurts
my hips.
It's not worth it. It's not worth the risk for it.
So instead, I utilize the things that I go like, okay, well, what are getting the reactions? And believe it or not, this thing has like I introduced it years ago against Ibushi. I would sometimes do this when I was backyard wrestling. But like this thing has just been like a game changer for me. And
indeed, just the pose of like the still shots of it just looks like something as devastating is coming.
Do you ever see those like ice skaters?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it looks It's like where the power comes from. It's like getting that low fucking arc from it.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of how I relate it. But like to know, I do believe a lot of the time as well, it's trial and error. I do see like people. I really don't want to, like, I'm trying my best not to be like, meh about this, but like I do see people trying to be the Ricochet Will Ospreay match in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And like I admire it. And I believe that everyone should try it and should try those like incredible sequences, mm-hmm. because that's how you're gonna get time and that's how you're gonna get that. But like what I think people are forgetting about the me and Ricochet match is we were always trying to go for something. Like a move.
Right.
Also, I feel like a lot of it's kind of been lost.
Transition.
Yeah. And I believe, like, I've done that before. We've all done it.
I was bad at it.
Yeah. But, like, now, if people have more of an understanding of, like, this, you got to win. Like, what are you going for to win? And, like, if that's the thing that I've kind of, like, put it into my matches more, of just, like, okay, like, I don't need to do this and I don't need to do this when I've got this. And I think mm-hmm. like that's I think that's the art of it now.
So I want to mm-hmm. ask you, and this is an open-end question to both of you guys, with you guys, you know, both being some of the best in the world and you being world champion. So I want to ask you guys this question. Now, you know, whether it's a Dynamite on Wednesday or a Rampage or a Collision, does it come to a point where you guys get to that conscious level where you're like, okay, this Wednesday I don't have to do this and that, and then you as you get older, do you feel like you have to kind of build up your body to these pay-per-view matches? Like, as you get old, like you said, certain things you can't do anymore. Do you feel like you have to kind of build up to, like, okay, I got, you know, this is pay-per-view match, like the match with Danielson or your match with Samoa Joe was like, okay,
I'll go first and let you, yeah. Like, for me, I'm always in the mindset. I'm always in the thinking mode, not necessarily the physical. I got to get to here before I get to the physical of it. So that's where my mind, it's like, if you ever watch Queen's Gambit, I'm looking at chess pieces moving. Before I actually move my piece, if that makes sense. I got to kind of know where I'm about to go before I physically start going there. That's just me personally. My look has to match my attitude. My attitude has to match my music. My music has to match my walk. My walk has to match, like, how I look at my opponent, how I look at the crowd, how they're looking at me. What are they trying to receive?
She put them in soul lyrics. That was sick.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, but like, that's like, it's all this process before I even touch my opponent. That's just me. And that kind of, that energy, that vibe, that builds up the anticipation for what is about to happen when it becomes the physical. So now preparing the physical body for that, my character, the Swerve Strickland character, at the end of the day, he does things to try to hurt you. That's my main goal. Like, my submissions aren't to make you submit. They're to hurt your arm. They're to hurt the leg. They're to hurt you. So as long as I get back to something that hurts you, that's where I'm like, now I got him. That's how I beat Samoa Joe, that arm. Like, I know he was going to try to choke me out. But guess what? Let me just hurt that arm so it hurts trying to choke me out. That's why turnbuckle pad, this, I kind of can get a little dirty because that's what Swerve does. That's what I did to get to the title match. I played dirty because I had to scratch and claw and do a lot of bad things to good people that turned them bad because you were content. I'm not content. I'm willing to go the lengths that I have to hurt you, like, physically, mentally, emotionally, and then take that energy into the ring to hurt my opponent.
I mean, the other thing, though, is, like, fans are intelligent as well, right, when I say this. They're very smart. They don't want a champion to be a pushover. They do want someone with a little bit of a killer instinct.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to have that. Like, you've got to have that mode that you can switch into where, like...
That's when I knew the switch happened for him, when I started seeing the killer. When that back elbow started coming in, now he's arrived.
Yeah.
Because there's the killer.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is just even with your, like, character, like, breaking into the guy's house, like, in theory, right, you're the bad guy in this situation. Yeah. But the reality is that you've done it in such a cool, different way to, like, what anyone's seen or done it before. And trust me when I say, I think I even said this to you, like, I don't like that style. I don't like the whole home invasion stuff of it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think I said it to you.
You did, yeah.
But, you pulled it off. And then the end result was just, it was magic. Like, that match
Thank
at
you.
Full Gear was just like, it was, like, I remember watching it and being just like, that's your guy now. Like, I don't care if you're meant to be the bad guy, if I'm meant to boo you. Like, that's the guy now. And I think that's the bar. And, like, I look at that and I go, okay, like, now I know what I've got to hit. Like, so for me, like, I do echo everything that he says. Like, everything has got a point and a purpose behind it. But, like, I think... It is about, like, understanding who you are and understanding what brought you to the dance in the first place.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
I think that's the main thing. I echo a lot of what he said.
Absolutely. And Rich from One Nation Radio also had this question too. Like, now that you're considered a veteran, what are you looking for when it comes to the younger talent? What do you have to see to say, okay, I could bring this person up to the Will Ospreay level or the Swerve Strickland level? What do you guys see? What do you guys need to see in the next generation? Who, like, what do you guys, like, what you kind of know when you watch,
work,
like, okay,
ethic.
I got it.
Work ethic, man. Like, I mean, like, a lot of people want to give me shit for my work ethic, right? But just, like, how can you look at the matches and say that I'm not working hard, man? How can you say it? How can you look at the body of work that, like, we've both done and just say that we're not working hard and we're reining it in? Because we're not. Like, we're going hard every single time that we're out there and we're delivering something, like, completely unique and completely different. Yeah. So, like, for me now, like, people coming in and, like, I need to word this in the best way possible because I really
give us some content,
no,
brother.
But I don't
first person shooter.
I don't ever want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anyone, right? I really do mean this, right?
Right.
I was never a part of any type of system except for Japan. You had an amazing thing going for you and you had the rug pulled out from underneath you, right? But I would say before you was reaching that level that you were in WWE, right? That the what I would have known you for was your work on 205, right? So no one would have had us down as top guys, especially from, like, ever. Right? So if we're coming in here now and we're delivering these incredible matches, these incredible stories, anyone else coming in from this point on, you've got no excuse.
Ooh, I'm gonna let him. I'm gonna leave,
like,
the mic drop
wrong,
for that.
Like,
no, that was
I'm
good.
Wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
No,
like,
nope.
Like, there has to be.
Ooh.
That has to now be, like,
ooh, that's the standard.
That has to be the standard now.
And, like,
I don't, if anyone does get offended by it, then maybe that's the problem.
No,
like,
yeah,
like,
nope.
It now needs to be just like this is the level. This is the bar. Like, we all, like, and we're all a team here. Like,
yep.
No one needs to be pulling against us anymore. Like, if, like, especially if you're in the confines here, we all need to push this way. Don't pull us back. Like, and that's, like, and I hold myself accountable if I ever, like, fucking, if I drop the ball in, like, the weeks building up to Dynasty, like, if I've done that and I set, like, anybody, I take responsibility for it, but I'm still pushing this way. Like,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's for everybody.
This is already my favorite interview. It's already my favorite.
Bro,
for me, like...
But, like, that's not bad.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Because, once again, I don't want
to... It's realistic.
I don't want to
offend
people.
But it's not. And that's the problem. People get offended instead of taking that and using it for themselves. Like, he don't know, like, he don't know my life. He don't know, like, it's not, he doesn't have to. He's speaking on the standard and the spectrum. It's up to you how you take it and what you do with it. Like, I could have took, like, all those pitfalls and all these, and, like, been, like, sorry for myself, blaming the middle finger to this and all that. No, I was like, you know what? Now I kind of have this whole wheelhouse to work with now, and I'm not held back. I can kind of use this. I can go here. I can do all these things. Hi, Kyle.
What's up, my man?
It's Kyle. Shoot, Kyle. Show Kyle.
Aye, aye.
Mr. Fletch. I got to fight him later.
Like, that's like,
but, yeah.
I really do mean that. From the bottom of my heart, I don't mean to offend anybody at all with this. Like, I would hate for anybody to be offended by
no,
that.
No, I think...
But, like, I want that
to
be the standard.
You
got to
say it,
now.
Man. You got
to
say it. You got to think. But, like, real talk, whether it was me with music podcasting, us with podcasting, him with wrestling.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a shit. We had to work for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had to continue to grind and work for it.
And so, especially, man, like, this is the thing, right? We're at Daly's place. Beautiful, beautiful place,
yep,
right?
Yep.
I was walking up and down here, and then somebody said to me, like, this was their era of COVID, mate. I wish
man.
I had this for COVID. If you guys could have saw in Japan-style COVID wrestling,
I've seen some things.
It was hell, man. So,
wow.
Like, to have that, man, like, this, that's... There's so much things to be, like, blessed about with this company.
This
There's
is
so
true.
Many things to just be, like, just happy that we're getting income, that we're getting to wrestle the way we want to wrestle, and just
and
to
get
be,
to
like,
create.
Just, yeah, create.
Create.
Like, there's no, like, even if you weren't, like, exactly thrilled about the things that you're doing, go do indies. Like, there are options for people, man. Like, so...
Find yourself there if you're not getting the time here.
Yeah, and, like, there's no reason why you can't open schools, you can't do anything. There are avenues and there are options, and I just feel like right now, like... We all need to push this way. And if we have people that are, like, pulling us back, then just, like, they're no good for us anymore. So we all need to push this way. Or, like, if you're not going to be with us, we're going to fucking force you to come with us, mate. Like, like, that's just how I feel anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's just me. And just like from being here from an outside perspective and like seeing some stuff as like a fly on the wall, it's like I feel great about this place now. Like I feel like being a part of it, I feel great about it. I want to move in this direction with everybody. It's got to be a team effort now.
What more can I say? Let's get into the fun stuff. Let's get into the fun stuff. That wasn't fun. I had a blast. Like I said, this is already my favorite interview. Like Will's one of my favorite people. I'm been like that for years. So I knew this was on like, I got to get him. I got to get him because y'all need to hear this shit. Y'all need to hear this, man. And like, come here, Kyle. Like,
do you want to come in?
Get a hug. Yeah. I want a hug. Mr. Kyle.
What's up, gang?
Yeah.
Did you find a football?
Huh?
Did you find a football? Oh, I've never been on a football field before, an American one. We're going to throw a football, see if we can.
They are very protective of that grass. I will say that. They are very protective of that grass. They are very protective. They're like,
sorry, my bad. I've ruined your grass.
But the last movie I went to go see in theaters was Monkey Man.
Monkey Man.
Have you seen trailers? Monkey Man?
No, never.
Ooh, Dev Patel, Slumdog Millionaire.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Ooh. You're action. Oh, man.
Honestly, name a lot of your favorite films. I probably haven't seen them.
I think you'd like Monkey Man. It's a good story. Okay. Great action. It's a lot of the close-up shots, though. It's like a lot of shake on impact.
I like that.
So I'm going to give you a homework assignment. These are three action movies of this past decade that you need to see. You need to see Monkey Man. You need to see the Extraction movies. Which Extraction's on Netflix, so that's easy.
Oh, I like Extraction.
Oh, yeah.
Extraction's great. Extraction 1 and 2.
Yeah. And The Raid. You've seen The Raids then, right?
Nah, I've not seen The Raid.
The Raid.
Right. Oh, Raid.
Yeah.
Oh,
The Raid.
Where they're climbing the blocks, and it's got like all drug mills in there.
The Raid. Oh, 1 and 2?
I think I've seen 1, but like I'll have to.
2, man, is.
I'll have to go rewatch it because they've got some crazy fight scenes.
Yes. So Monkey Man, I feel like. It's been a while since I've seen a good action movie, and I appreciate it. There's some people that are like, oh, there's some things wrong with it. I'm like, yeah, but I enjoyed the film. I stayed up, and I watched it, and I didn't fall asleep. And, you know, it kept my attention. It was good stuff. And it's a great, good acting. Very good acting, solid acting all the way around. But it was a very good stuff. Like, last movie we went to go see was Spider-Man.
Me and him went to go see Spider-Man, and I have to tell you, that was one of the best films. That film was fire. What up, Kyle? That shit was fire.
The one that's just been released.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Dude. No. Oh. Across the Spider-Verse.
Across the Spider-Verse.
Are we going into it or across it?
Like
across.
Half the movie, we're sitting there nodding our head to the music like, damn. The music was really damn good. And the beats are fire. Watching the movie and I'm just like, yo, this is absolutely phenomenal.
It's shot like a music video in a weird way as well.
Yeah,
It is. It is.
Because some of the animations were going with the beat.
Yeah.
Like every time, like, what's the name? 2099 Spider-Man came in. It was just like, those synths and stuff. And then, like,
I love how they've left it on a cliffhanger, though, because there's more to come now.
How long do you think before, like, with a movie like that, with the success, how long do you think before they put out another one?
Isn't it supposed to come out
this
year?
The next one's like
2025,
I think.
25? No.
They pushed it back. It might be like the end of 2025.
Oh, no.
That was supposed to come out this year.
No way. No? We just went to go see it last year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that thing is like coming out next year.
Okay. Damn, they ain't playing.
Yeah.
This is sci-fi.
You got it's a part two.
Yeah.
It's literally a part two to it. So yeah. Like, we need answers. Don't do us like
Invincible. When did it come out? Like 2023, though.
Oh, yeah. We were not too long ago.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be a while.
What was the last movie you guys seen that, like, really, you're like, it stays in your head? It just stays.
Oh, honestly, right. You're going to laugh at this, but the Super Mario Brothers.
I still haven't watched it.
I want to see that shit.
I took my 5-year-old with me. Good. And, like, you know, like, having a 5-year-old with you, their attention span is all over the place.
Bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam. You can't keep them still.
Honestly,
I was so worried about taking it. I thought he was going to be running up and down the stairs and shit. But honestly, dude, sat there. He was engrossed by it the entire time.
Ooh.
And at one point, man, I swear to God, I keep saying this here. And spoilers for it. Oh, no, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Will I watch it? I do like Chris Pratt, okay. So I think I'll watch it. Yeah.
Okay, but at one point, like, Bowser's got Mario on the ropes. Mario's big selling.
Big Cell.
Right, Big Cell Mario, right?
Big Cell Mario.
Kid stands up from his chair. Mrs. looks at me and goes, all right, here we go. Like, it has been sat for about 2 hours. Luigi makes the save. Fuck it. Like, he started going nuts, bro. And I was just like, this is pro wrestling.
Yeah, this I was about
like,
to say.
I was just like, this is incredible. Like, they worked together to be, and like, it engrossed him so much. And I was just like, I'm so happy that I got to witness his first film that he watched and that he like, he felt.
It hit him.
He felt. So
it hit him.
Like, this is cool. Mario is the best, bruv.
Oh, man. That was the last movie that hit me in the, like, honestly, Tick, Tick, Boom. I don't know if you guys know that.
What's it? What's that?
That hit me, man. It's not a doc, but it's like a movie based on like an actual story. It's like the guy that wrote Rent.
Out of five, what are you giving it?
Oh, 9. Oh, oh, you said out of five. I can't count. It's a 5
9
for me.
9 out of 5.
Yeah. Math. I definitely give it a 5.
So
9.
So I'm like, oh wait, other way. Oh.
So Swerve is telling me, right?
You shut up. You stop it.
That's the meme right there.
That you guys.
Nine.
Swerve told me that you guys have this Batman debate.
Oh, here we go. Get into it.
Let me.
We got to face off.
I also all right. Hear this.
Okay.
So we're getting into
like
it.
A championship fight.
Go.
So. I'm sorry. I'm in the camera. Okay. So. The new Batman.
Love it.
How do you feel about the new Batman himself? The character. How do you feel about the character? How do you feel about Bruce Wayne Batman? How do you feel
Tell
about
us, Will.
I think, first of all, it was shot like a beautiful music video. Every
yes, it
single
was.
Person in there, while I was watching it, was engrossed by the action
yes,
straight
was.
Away. Robert Pattinson, I actually had my doubts on. As soon as he got told, I even saw a news article. I saw a news article that said that he wasn't going to work out as hard because he doesn't believe Batman should be that bulky. And that infuriated me. That infuriated me. To see what Christian Bale went through to deliver one of the greatest Batmans of all time, and you're not going to work out. So I said, my hope, my expectations for you are down here.
But Sunshine. Michael Keaton didn't really work out like that either.
Okay, but like, I don't count him, right? I don't. I'm too young.
That was a little bit before the working out was the standard for superhero movies, though.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's before we got like the Henry Cavill.
You've got to have delts. That's all I ask for in my superheroes, is have delts. That's it.
Just flies.
That's all I asked for. Some delts in the big old chest. That's all I asked for, right? But to see him come out and I like engrossed in all the characters, the Penguin was filmed and portrayed.
Tremendous.
Incredible.
Tremendous.
Who else was it? The fact that like it was done with like such a seedy undertone of the government. The fact that like the Riddler, like I just look at like, what would a fucking nerd who knows every riddle under the sun look like? Bam, there you are. Like, there you are. Like you tell
okay.
me I'm lying, but like,
okay.
Carson, perfect, spot on. You can't
An internet nerd.
Done. You played it perfectly. I even think but like, I can take, if you guys think Robert Pattinson was a little bit too much, like,
My parents.
I'm Batman.
Catwoman.
I can take it. However, I think the story that they told and the journey that they went on to get there, I think they set the bar here. And you know how much I love Spider-Man. You know how much I love Spider-Man.
Which one?
Every single one of them. I'm not even
Andrew
joking.
You like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man?
Right. I like Tobey Maguire a little bit more. I don't mind him. I think he played it. I think he played it too cool. I think he was a bit too cool.
A lot of people say
that. But I still, when all three of them walked through that portal.
Oh, I haven't clapped in a theater in so long. I have not clapped in the theater in so long till then.
Honestly, dude, I'll take like all my clothes, donate all my clothes.
Here you go, my pants.
But like when Batman came out, I passed this out.
Can I have that back?
Yeah, it's a mess, bruv. But when Batman came out, I was like, at the end of it, now bearing in mind, I'm in Japan with one of my best mates, Riley, watching it, and I just watched how a government how the people could overthrow their government, right? I'm in Japan, COVID era. I'm getting psyched up by this, and I'm going like, yeah, let's fucking break all the COVID rules. Let's actually make noise at shows. Let's actually go out. And do you know what? Like, I wanted, let's fucking riot. And everyone in Japan politely picked up their rubbish. Thank God we don't live in Gotham.
And walked up. They left because of you. Yeah. They didn't see the end of the movie.
No, I was like, riot.
Now, like, fucking. With that being said,
go on.
We didn't need Catwoman.
Stop.
She was gorgeous.
She was great to have. She was gorgeous. Okay. Zoe Kravitz, you tremendous.
You want to get rid of the one person that was.
We did her.
For all us men.
Her.
Men, just as soon
her
as she
character me, arc was not needed in that film.
But you she was lying. The.
She was not needed.
You're a liar.
Her character.
No. We go back and forth on this every time. We did not. Need that could have been a if you buy the DVD, you get the 10-minute Catwoman story.
No,
that's
no,
all you needed.
No, you
that's
need,
what you
no,
could have.
Like
that's all you needed.
It was a perfect tire to Penguin. She was a perfect tire to Penguin.
It. That could have been Vicky Vale. That could have been any chick. It did not have to be Catwoman. That did not have to be Catwoman.
No, she was perfect in her role and she looked amazing.
She looked great. Didn't need to be there.
I keep asking my missus to buy a Catwoman suit ever since that film.
Alice, don't do that. but like, no, it was like she was DLC. She was downloadable content that was thrown into the game. Shooting what's the name? The Balcony.
Great tire. Great tie, good storyline.
Cool. They didn't need Catwoman to tie it.
They did.
She
got roped in.
His adrenaline shot if he didn't see Catman in Catman, Catwoman. In
Catman, Catman.
Now.
But I think, like I said,
she's essential part. No, she's too essential.
I do think it was 20 extra minutes of fluff.
All right, a bit long.
Yeah,
only 20.
I think you take Catwoman out. We shorten it that little character arc to get right back to terrorism.
No. You end the movie when Falcone goes to jail, and Riddler goes to jail.
Yes.
Or you end the movie as he's about to go to jail. Pop. That's when.
About to go to jail. Cool. Dies and he gets killed.
Or,
that finishes all
of that. And we just go to the stadium getting flooded and. Everybody coming up because I'm like, where are all these followers coming up? Oh, we just happen to have the black market.
That's my one
They're on the black market. He has followers. Right. Oh, we're about to go tear apart the city. I'm like, then there's Joker at the end. I'm like,
angry Reddit users.
What do you have to do with this? Why is he here?
You're busting nuts. Busting nuts. She's still going.
But that's felt.
I can't.
Why are we doing this? Why are we still here? Why are we still here?
That felt, though.
I have nothing more to offer you.
But you can't end the movie. This sounds like a executive kind of deal.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
100%. You can't end the movie with, okay, crime saga, Batman didn't have to punch anybody for the conclusion to happen. So what do you have? You create a scenario where Batman has to punch a lot of people on top of water and get electrocuted and
take drugs
and take
green goo.
Yeah.
I'd love to sign that.
Hit the cod stem
that any that way.
Like, oh, what was that?
Me and my son watched it 3 times. Like we watched it 3 times.
It's 9 hours of content you were doing there, sir.
That's
a shift at work.
I didn't know how to feel about it at first, right?
Okay.
Because I watched it, and me and my son were sitting there. He's asking me questions, and I'm like, because I've seen all of them, so I'm like, just watch, because he had a lot of questions. You know how kids are.
I got a lot of questions.
So I still do.
I'm satisfied.
I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent about him as Bruce Wayne. I kind of feel like it's.
Oh, okay. Like, that's
not,
where I can
I'm
get
not,
in the
I'm not a fan of like Kurt Cobain Bruce Wayne. I don't like.
It was grunge.
It was
very grunge.
Kurt Cobain Bruce Wayne.
What was that?
Kurt Cobain, Bruce Wayne.
Kurt Cobain, Bruce Wayne. Bar.
I swear to God, like Nirvana album, the way he was talking. I swear to God, it did. But it was like, I didn't.
But the music was like that, too. Like,
everything. Oh, yeah, but it's all, yeah.
Bass.
I was like, I don't know about depressed Batman. Bass. I don't know about this. Like,
I didn't like seeing the eye paint. I hate that.
I didn't like that either.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like that either.
And
but he's got a black out his eyes. So I can get behind it.
So did Christian Bale, but we didn't see him go. Before he went out.
Yeah, but
That was, you got to make it different that somehow. Something about that is a little odd to me. Trust me. I wear eyeshadow. You got to make it different every somehow. Week.
I don't, but you, don't see, you can't say nothing.
But you don't see me put it on, and you don't see me take it off.
We will. We will.
Hell, you won't. You will not see me go, I got to defend this title at Double or Nothing.
Mate, you will. Say it, it will happen. I'm telling you. But no, I can accept his criticisms on him being as Bruce Wayne. I can accept his criticism on the film being too long, but Catwoman needs to stay. She needs to stay. For me.
Did you?
For my enjoyment. I don't want to take your joy away, but I will say, we all both agreed that was probably the best looking Gotham's.
Oh,
yes, agreed.
In any Batman.
Agreed. The nightclub especially, like how Penguin was portrayed.
Yes.
Hey, vengeance! And he's like, yeah. Oh my god.
So dope.
Even the Batmobile, dude. The Batmobile was sick.
Yeah. Batmobile was dope.
I don't know. That was a Trans Am, man. What are we talking about? It looked like Death Proof.
The engine start fucking revving up and you can hear it whistling. You was like,
that's a Vin Diesel vehicle, bro. Yeah.
Exactly. Fast and Furious.
One and two. Outside that, no. But yeah, that's a Trans Am.
You didn't like going to space?
Ain't nothing but a, yeah. I don't know. I'm like, that's just.
Nah, I liked it.
That, like, them serial numbers can be traced easily. I will say, like, this Batman, I'm like, the way Bruce and this Batman, he's not that hard to find. Like, this Batman Moody, Bruce Wayne Moody, he talked like this. They got the same car. Like, I think I can put this together.
He doesn't go out in public in the Batmobile, does he?
He didn't go out at all. He went to the funeral, that's it.
Not in the flipping Dodge Charger, though, did he?
That is nothing but a Chevy
souped up little Batmobile. Modern day Batmobile.
Man, they got that car in Houston, man. I don't know what you're talking about. That's a regular ass damn Trans Am with some damn.
Exactly. So it's like
they got a slab. They got a slab.
That's what I'm saying. Like sitting sideways. That's what that was. That's all I saw. Compared to like a military vehicle that Christian Bale had, like, okay, that's a tank. Like, you can't trace where that's coming from.
Come on.
You can't trace where that's coming from, bro.
Yeah, all right. You're going to put it like that. Of course you can't trace that fucking thing.
You shouldn't,
yeah. It was manufactured by Lamborghini. So then, like, come on for me. Oh, like, all right, you got me over here. Go on, I'll give up.
Do you guys agree on who the top Batman is?
Christian Bale, for me.
That's the top Batman movie still. But to me,
I still even think it's the best Batman. Like, dude, I even liked it when he like was against Bane. Like, I loved it. Like, he was fucking frail.
I love that.
Oh, you got no cartilage in your knees. And he's like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like,
the electronic knee brace.
Yeah, man. But like Batman, would have that technology.
Very true. Technology and gadgets wise, best Batman.
Yeah, but that he would have that technology. Oh, you got no cartilage? Pow! Boom! Like, do you know what I mean?
Force Gump.
For me, I love that movie probably up until after he loses the fight to Bane. That first fight scene when they're in the sewer is absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. Beautifully shot.
The only thing that I don't like about it is when Batman's coming back to face Bane. It's this guy, okay, what training did you do to rehabilitate your back? Just did some push-ups.
They hung him. They suspended his back.
Like, I get it. Like,
he broke his back again like another three times before he escaped that. Well, or whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah, I just don't like that's Bane the, got shot with the bat, the bicycle, and then was like, he's done.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was like,
where'd he go?
Catwoman was.
Do you know what I hated the most about the ending, though? It gave me hope that there was Nightwing films coming out.
Yeah. I like your last name, Robin.
Yeah.
I cringed so hard.
Honestly, I was with my girl at the time, like, and I was just like, we're getting another film. Like, I sat up, I was like grabbing onto her. Like,
you retconned Robin into this thing.
I was a big guy.
You should use your real name, Robin.
I was a little, yeah. Robin. I'm like, why did she unveil that dude was Robin?
Like, I'm like, there's like five Robins with... five different names, Tim,
Jason.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah. You could choose anyone.
Drake, Jason Todd, Tim Drake.
I can't remember the girl.
The girl Robin? Yeah. Oh, Barbara.
That's Batwoman.
Cool, Batgirl. But Gwen? I don't know the.
No, there was a girl Robin.
Is it Glenn? Gwen?
Find it after the show.
Okay. Man, you're not a video gamer.
I am. Oh, not like a heavy one. Assassin's Creed. You give me Assassin's Creed, I can talk about that.
No, talk about the IGN thing that you did an interview with them, man. That was awesome.
There was that, but like we got the clearance from Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft to do an entrance for Wrestle Kingdom. They let me do the Jack the Ripper thing, and
so cool.
So we've got like a little bit of there's a communication between us there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And maybe a little exclusive. Sorry, all I'll say a tease. I think we got more to come.
Crossover.
Honestly, I'm like, if we can get this, I'm so excited.
That's amazing. No, like, that's a great crossover. That's what, like, I love that. I was so happy for you.
The fact that it's the reason why I am who I am. Mm-hmm. The Aerial Assassin was from Assassin's Creed, and they've given me permission to use their music, use this and use that. Like, do you want a hidden blade? Yeah, all right. Like,
no, I saw that, and I was like, jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous. Mate. Jealous.
That was Farbod as well. My boy Farbod sorted that out. Like, shout out to him, man. He is such a G when it comes to this. Should we reorganize these chairs?
I don't know. I'm still upset.
We went into like battle mode then.
Yeah, we did. Digimon. But yeah, bro. Like, yeah, we're having a great time, man. AEW is on a whole new wave.
New strategy.
I'm with friends every week. It's hard not to be motivated. It's hard to be upset about anything in wrestling right now when you just like, this is your guys, this is your coworkers, this is who you go to battle with, and you share locker rooms with, you share stories with. We can just grab a camera and some microphones and just have a blast talking about Batman. Like, the camaraderie is awesome here. I appreciate you. I welcome you to AEW with open arms, and like, let's make some history.
Let's do it, Bree.
Let's make some history. I need my best of five, man. I need it.
I'm sure we can one day.
I need my best of five.
I'm sure our roots are gonna clash someday, but the day it does, all the best, sir. And honestly, you as a champion, I said it. It's the right move. It's completely the right move. If there's anyone to like guide us now and to be like the person front and center for this new generation of AEW, it's you, man. And I'm glad that I get to be around. Glad I get to be supporting role at this point.
Oh, appreciate it.
I can't wait for like when we start making some movies, boss.
Dude, I was literally saying, I'm like, as like the head of the franchise right now, these are the players I want to be with. These are the guys I want to surround.
Absolutely.
I want to go to these guys at any point. This is the best team I could ever ask for. Never had a locker room like uplift me so much to be where I'm at right now. And I'm blessed, inspired, motivated. I want to do more. I did 20 interviews just in the last 6 days. And still had to hit the gym and still had to find ways to connect all my people to do this podcast, to go out and still do television tonight. I'm literally motivated to give more, and it's going to be exhausting, but that's...
It's all for the name for a change, man. It's all for the greater good.
I want to push AEW. That's how I want to help progress AEW in all these different facets, man.
We can all do it, man.
Like, everybody.
You've got the steering wheel, bruv. Drive us away.
Haven't you heard? I swerve when I drive. Be confident in everything you do.
Wash your ass.
And do your homework.
What? I mean, that's just a given, right?
You'd be surprised.
Wash your ass.